Just an application. If a biology teacher explains to the children, you see this butterfly. It's wonderful how nature equipped this butterfly. Please, who has equipped the butterfly with all these abilities? Nature. This is giving to the creation the glory that belongs only to the Creator, who is not part of the universe. Already the first verse of the Bible makes it clear. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we learned it at primary school. In this sentence, God is the subject and heaven and earth is the object. So the first verse of the Bible distinguishes clearly between the Creator and creation, the nature. You see, these things I like to explain, especially in Asian countries like Thailand, because in Hinduism, in Buddhism, they worship nature instead of the Creator. And they make not this difference. But the first verse, the very first verse of the Bible explains God is God, the Creator, and heaven and earth, the nature, is only His work. And we must not worship the creation, but only the Creator. So Abraham was worshipping a cold stone, the moon god. But now, in Genesis 11:29 we read, and Abram, which was his name before God changed his name to Abraham, Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. So this remark of Moses is most interesting, because the Sumerians thought Nana multiplies humans and animals. But alas, in connection with Abraham and Sarai, it didn't work. He was not able to give Abraham a child. And he got the name Abram, which means in Hebrew, elevated father. But please, what is a father without a child? It doesn't work logically. But we know later on, the one true God who appeared to Abraham gave him another name, Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Not just an exalted father without a child, but a father, not just of one child, but of a whole people. That's amazing. And so he later on became the father of Isaac, which was then the father of Israel, and then of the people of Israel. Now, the Americans went on the moon in 1969, and even before we could know, of course the moon cannot give a child to a barren woman like Sarai, because it's just a cold stone covered by dust and the face is not very lovely, isn't it? So this is the dead moon god. But look at the call of Abraham by the Creator, by the one true God. Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We have a little problem. When reading in Genesis 11 about the birth of Abraham, his marriage with Sarah, he had no child, then you read how they went out of Ur to go to Haran, and then father Terah dies, and then you have this call here. So you could think, yes, Abraham got this call from the Lord when he was in Haran and not in Ur. But look at the translation here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. In Hebrew it's Vayomer Adonai. You can translate the Lord said. But this verbal form, in several cases in the Old Testament, you have, it's a must, you have to translate by pluperfect. Had said unto Abram. And it is a must here, because Moses goes back in telling the story of Abram, back to Ur. And this we know for sure by Stephen, who explained Genesis 12 when he was standing in front of the Supreme Court of the Sanhedrin, here on the Temple Mount, in this southeastern corner, standing in front of the 70 judges and the high priest. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he, Stephen, said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee." Quoting Genesis 12 verse 1. So, things are clear concerning chronology. But let us see other details. He said, Stephen said in his quote, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land." That's beautiful. This means when God called him in Ur, where was God? He was in the land of promise, calling Abraham in Ur to come where God's presence was in a particular way. Of course, God is omnipresent. But when the Bible says that God is in a certain place, it means that he is revealing him in this special place in a special manner. So when God dwelt in the tabernacle or in the temple in Jerusalem, one could come to the knowledge of the one true God at this spot in a particular way. Now, we go on in the text. "Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land. Wherein ye now dwell," says still Stephen to the Supreme Court. "And he gave him none inheritance in it." No. Not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet had no child. So Abraham really was ready to leave all the luxurious life in Ur, to become a despised nomad, living in tents in the land of promise, which he never took into possession, just knowing God promised it to my descendants. That on the moment, first, for years, he did not have. For he was for years in the promised land without Isaac. This came only later. It's really amazing, this faith of Father Abraham. But let us look at some details in Stephen's explanations. He said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." This we didn't read in Genesis 12. Just God spoke to Abraham. But he explains that he had not only an audition of God's voice, but also a vision of God's glory. The God of glory appeared.